Do we have a busy open mic Friday today to the point that I'm not sure we're going to take any phone calls? I promised in the promo that we were going to be talking about the hymn, Come Holy Ghost Creator Blessed. We were going to take a look at the Athanasian Creed that appears to give you the opportunity to be saved by your works. And if we had some time, we were going to talk about the Boy Scout decision. Well, I want to spend the majority of time on the Boy Scout decision. The Post-Dispatch says, Scouts welcome openly gay boys. Now, how do you think the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or myself as a Lutheran, would take a look at this? I've read their statement, and here is my conclusion. Finally, the Boy Scouts become Lutheran. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but first of all, as I promised, let's kind of go through the various items. First of all, I want to take a look at the Athanasian Creed, because there's a statement at the end of it which says, and those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. Now, I remember another Lutheran denomination that had an article in their newspaper that this wasn't part of Christian teaching. Unfortunately, they didn't realize it is a quote from the book of Corinthians. That's right. Those that have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. But doesn't that mean that we're saved by our works? But when you look at the context, particularly take a look at Matthew 25, where the sheep, it appears that they're going into heaven because they fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, and so forth, visit the imprisoned, but no. Those were really just evidences that they were already Christian. Those deeds did not make them Christian. In fact, for God to recognize those deeds as truly good works, they had already have to be saved. So only a Christian who is totally saved can do what is called a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which God looks for as evidence. Yes, we are going to heaven because God regards our good works done through the power of the Holy Spirit as indeed proper. But we're not going to heaven because of the works. The works are the evidence that God recognizes us as having been saved. Then, quickly to the hymn, Come Holy Ghost Creator Blessed. That's the hymn for this coming Trinity Sunday, and talks about not only the Holy Ghost, but the Father and the Son. The verse that I want to take a look at is verse 4. Your light to every thought impart, and shed your love in every heart. The weakness of our mortal state with deathless might invigorate. You see, we believe, teach, and confess according to the Bible that we are all poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And the wonderful good news we have is that that is the mission of the Holy Christian Church, to bring into the church those who are poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So, how does this fit with the statement of the Boy Scout? I think a lot of us were concerned, as were the leaders of our own denomination, when this discussion first began, because it was going to, at least on the part of some, going to permit homosexual adults to be leaders of the Boy Scouts. And that would have been a disaster, because the Bible is very clear that those who are to teach are those who have the aptness to teach. And if you take a look at Timothy, Titus, other places, leaders, particularly in speaking on morals and religious truths, need to have a good reputation. So we were very opposed to the idea, as we would to have a homosexual pastor or a lesbian pastor or any leader of a homosexual understanding that what his lifestyle is okay. This cannot be permitted in the Church of God. It is an abomination before Almighty God. So when the Boy Scouts statement came out, there were a couple of things that I was really looking for. Number one, what are they saying about Boy Scout leaders, and what are they saying about the Boy Scout who could have a homosexual attitude? Now, number one, wouldn't it have been great had the new policy said that their previous policy about adult leaders being homosexual, they would still not permit? Guess what? That's what the policy says. A change to the current membership policy for adult leaders was not under consideration, thus the policy for adults remains in place. They will not permit a homosexual leader to be a Boy Scout leader. But wouldn't it have been nice if the resolution had also indicated that homosexual activity on the part of youth is contrary to the virtues of scouting? Oh, excuse me. The resolution does say that. Listen. The resolution also reinforces that scouting is a youth program, and any sexual conduct, whether heterosexual or homosexual, by youth of scouting age is contrary to the virtues of scouting. This is why I really believe this is because of the influence of Lutheranism on the Boy Scouts. Now, I know what some of you are thinking out there. What are you talking about, that you're going to allow homosexual youth into scouting? I have to say, first of all, that I was really surprised that they had a policy not allowing youth who were homosexuals into scouting. I was a cub, Boy Scout cub, at my church when I was growing up, went into scouts, and I am sure, and I remember, some of those individuals that I worked with were not members of our congregation. But the congregation really helped them to understand Jesus Christ and helped them to become more of a moral person. Now, you may be surprised at that, but there is actually a group called the National Lutheran Association on Scouting. And you know what they adopted on October the 12th in the year of 2002? Here is their vision: that all young people and their families are exposed to Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to know Him as Lord and Savior. Now, maybe I'm not thinking right here, but to say that homosexual youth cannot become members of your congregation's Boy Scout, I'm not quite sure I understand this. I mean, can you imagine? We've been talking about Salem Lutheran Church in Florissant. They're going to have a vacation Bible school June 17th to 21st. I know the members of that congregation. I guarantee you, they're not going to have a sign outside, vacation Bible school open to all youth except for those who are homosexual. No. In fact, I once asked this question on this program. Would I allow a homosexual to join any congregation of which I was pastor? And the answer is, of course I would. I allow murderers, adulterers, people who've had an abortion, people who go over the speed limit, people who gossip. The Christian church is open to anyone. We don't have any sign on any door that I go to, and I preach at a lot of Lutheran churches, that say, if you're really a bad sinner, we don't want you coming into our church. That is ridiculous. The point I'm trying to make here is the church is inclusive and is open to anyone. In fact, you know how we start our worship services in the traditional way? I, a poor, miserable sinner. That's how we start. And we make the point that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. In fact, sinners are welcome to our worship services. Now, somebody will say, oh, so you're saying that you can have a homosexual pastor? Oh, no, no, no. Leaders and teachers and pastors, as I've already noted, in the scripture, need to have a good reputation. Now, what does that mean? It not only means that they're not living a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God, but it also means that if they are, let's say, an adulterer or an alcoholic or a homosexual, that they are repentant of that lifestyle. You see, here's a real simple distinction to make. Who is invited to our worship service? Anybody. Who's invited to our Bible studies? Anybody. You don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be repentant. In fact, I would love to have a vacation Bible school with a number of homosexuals there who are still struggling and trying to find out, is this lifestyle appropriate? Well, I'll tell you, if they join our Boy Scout, if they join our Bible study, our vacation Bible school, they will hear the power of God speaking to them that such a lifestyle is an abomination. You see, there is a distinction as to the status of someone who wants to become a member of the congregation and take the Lord's Supper. There we do insist on a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and a repentant attitude towards sin. How many times have I said that to come to the Lord's Supper, you need to confess that you are unworthy to come to the Lord's Supper? That the church is open to every sinner. In fact, was not Jesus crucified for sitting and eating with tax collectors and prostitutes? You see, a proper Boy Scout group would, of course, be talking about the morality. We even had the Boy Scout statement, and I just want to underscore this, that the Boy Scout statement says without any hesitation that homosexual leaders are still not permitted. Well, what they simply done is, if somebody is publicly a homosexual, does that keep them from becoming a Boy Scout? I don't think so. Does that keep them from being able to come to the church and hear the Word of God? I don't think so. Oftentimes I've talked about the church as a hospital for sick sinners. Now, here in St. Louis, we have a Lutheran hospital. Now, can you imagine that there's a sign outside, all individuals welcome, but we have no emergency room for homosexuals? That'd be horrible. Just as it would be horrible that Vacation Bible School is only for those youth who are what? Good youth? I'll tell you this. I've gone through a lot of vacation Bible schools, and I have not yet once met a good and perfect youth. And I attended myself vacation Bible school. And boy, I would fool around, and I was a sinner, and I am a sinner. We need, I think, to take this as an opportunity to make it very clear that as our National Lutheran Association on Scouting says, and many churches are part of this, that we're more than willing to reach out to individuals with the purpose of getting them to understand that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I'll give you another reason why I'm heartened by the Boy Scout statement. Because those who are radical homosexuals, they don't like it. All you need to do is go, like, to the United Church of Christ. And by the way, the United Church of Christ in 1972 was the first church to ordain an openly gay person, and in 2005 to affirm marriage equality. Now, although they're stressing that they think it's a move in the right direction to allow homosexual youth to be a member of the Boy Scouts, here's what they really believe. The advocates say that the new policy contradicts the Boy Scouts' efforts to become more inclusive. One of the leaders says that maintaining the Boy Scouts' exclusion of gay leaders is comparable to a don't ask, don't tell policy and is not a long-term solution. He says the new policy is only a step, but the onerous policy that discriminates against gay adult leaders remains unchanged. See, even they're recognizing that they really haven't won anything. Are you telling me that the many Boy Scout troops we have in the Lutheran Church, that none of them are gay? Or that none of them will announce that they're gay? Of course not. What an opportunity we have through the Boy Scouts to bring in all kinds of youth for the purpose of teaching them the Word of God. Now, the fact is the Boy Scouts do permit this teaching of the Word of God because that's how we teach morality. The Boy Scouts are not of a mindset, and I don't have any problem with this, where the unique teachings of Lutheranism versus, say, Presbyterianism or Baptist. For example, we don't make a point of stressing infant baptism, but what we do stress in the Boy Scouts are those things that are really important for them to understand in order that they might have that civic righteousness. The Christian Encyclopedia, it's the Lutheran Christian Encyclopedia, they wrote this in 1943. The official stand of the Scout movement towards religious and moral training is defined as follows. Whatever Scouting has to say about religion refers to civil righteousness, termed character building and citizenship training, good citizenship through service. But the chief Scout executive, Albert Fretwell, wrote this. We recognize that there is no Boy Scout authority which supersedes the authority of the local pastor and the congregation in any phase of the program affecting the spiritual welfare of Lutheran men and boys in Scouting. So, if I had a Boy Scout group in the congregation, I'm not a pastor of a congregation right now, but if I did, I would alert the Boy Scout Association and thank them for taking a strong stand against homosexual leadership, because that is not permitted by the Scripture, but also of opening up the fact that any child can come into our church knowing that we're going to be teaching them true morality, which of course would be teaching them that homosexuality is an abomination before Almighty God. We already teach these students about the abomination of the various things they're doing. Some students, some Boy Scouts, they steal. Others gossip. Others may have a temper, and they may actually hurt other people. Because we're dealing with sinners. Why would you shut off a part of the church for sinners? We don't do that in our Bible studies. We don't do that in our worship services. I've never heard anybody do an invocation Bible school. Why do you have a set of rules different for the Boy Scouts? But the Boy Scouts need to recognize that we take them at their word. Particularly the idea that youth who are doing homosexual as well as heterosexual activity outside of marriage, that is against what the Boy Scouts believe in. I think the United Church of Christ and some of these Boy Scout folks who want homosexuality are actually using the occasion to think that they won a tremendous victory. Like the Post-Dispatch, Scouts welcome openly gay boys. Now, doesn't any church welcome openly gay people? I mean, my church does. We welcome anybody to come, just as Jesus did. They're going to hear law. They're going to hear gospel. And why do I think that the statement that did come out is so good? Unless I'm missing something. I think part of the reason it's so good is because of the influence from our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What do I mean by that? For instance, our own president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod really made some cautionary understanding towards what the statement could have been. And I think people listened to him. In his initial letter to the Boy Scouts, Harrison, that's our president, explained, "Because Christian churches teach both the law of God and the good news of redemption in Christ Jesus, churches and pastors often have seen the Boy Scouts as a good activity for boys, as the organization has promoted honor for God, parents, country, and in general, good and moral behavior." Now, he also wrote, "As the church awaits the vote, we still have much to do. We repent and we pray. We confess Christ and elevate marriage among us. We do what the church does best. We bear witness to Christ, show mercy to those in our midst, including those challenged by same-sex attraction, and care for all in our life together." I'll tell you where a lot of people are getting confused on this. When they hear the word inclusive, that the Christian church is inclusive, they get under the impression that that means anybody can join the church in the sense of becoming a communicant member. No, it's very clear from the Bible that communicant members are those who take the Lord's Supper, and therefore there is a confession of faith regarding Jesus, a confession of faith regarding the Supper of the Lord, and most importantly, a repentance of all sin that God considers as an abomination, from gossiping to murder to alcoholism to homosexuality. So we welcome anyone to our churches. And Jesus Christ died for the sins of everyone. I really believe that the Lutheran influence through our church made a difference, because it didn't take long at all before they totally got rid of the idea that the leaders in the Boy Scouts could be homosexual. That was gotten rid of very early in the process. And how did that come about? It came about because at this point, the Boy Scouts of America are indicating that both heterosexual and homosexual behavior is contrary to the virtues of the Boy Scouts. Yes, there are those who are going to think this is some kind of victory, but every Lutheran church has one goal, and that is to move even unbelievers to repentance of their sin. And that's why the use of law is important. And then the good news of the gospel. I think we've got a wonderful opportunity here to help youth who have homosexual tendencies to know that God has the strength to overcome this aberration, this sinfulness. It's kind of like alcoholism. I don't think anybody ever stops being alcoholic. They always, you know, have that temptation, just like nobody can ever stop being homosexual. But there are, I'm quite sure, homosexual pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have repented of their sin and no longer carry on that lifestyle. Tempted? I'm sure they are. Just like all of us have our own set of temptations. I'm just saying, why would we ever exclude anybody from hearing the message of the church? That's something kind of to think about. And as I indicated, our Office of National Mission has come out today, and here's what they've said. "We ask your patience. LCMS leaders are studying the implications of this policy change We will need some time to evaluate the decision and determine what it will mean for Boy Scout Association troops and our LCMS congregations. Well, the only thing I see that's really been changed is that right now we have the opportunity to reach out even to the homosexual community of youth in order to help them get through this abhorrent temptation which they have, and so they don't live the abominable lifestyle that God considers. And that can be overcome through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, we welcome anybody to our churches, anybody to our Bible studies, anybody to our vacation Bible school, anybody to maybe the Boy Scouts. More later. I'm Tom Baker, and unfortunately, I won't be here Monday. Why? Well, it's a holiday, and so they're going to just have regular recorded messages here from KFUO. You can still listen. You'll hear some wonderful things. We'll be back Tuesday with Pastor Mark Smith, which will be Rumination Day. We may speak a little bit more about the Boy Scout situation, or we may talk about other items. We'll wait till Tuesday. Till then, I tell you, God bless. I'm in Fairfield, Illinois, Sunday.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.